Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
Some versions say it's necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, does that sound like God's angry with them? No, he's saying you're going to have these things in your life. Okay, that's just the way it goes. Now, I'm going to say this thing twice because I want everybody to absorb this. Maybe if you're experiencing a lot of hard times that are not due to sin, you might be on the right path to glory.
When a woodworker cuts wood into an art piece, the early stages often don't look anything like the final product. But over time, as it keeps being worked on, the product becomes exactly what it's supposed to be. Today, Pastor Jim says sometimes you need hardships to understand God more deeply. He loves you and is using the highs and lows of your life to make you into the person you're meant to be. Hardships are difficult, but when you start to see the purpose of them, it becomes easier to walk through. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 9 as he continues his message, Seeing the True Light of God.
Some of them believed, okay, and some of the rabbis taught that a child could sin in the womb, okay? Now, some of you are like, well, my kid was kicking me the whole time and acting up and giving me heartburn and stuff like that. Maybe I agree with that. Some of the ladies are going, amen. Men, quiet. Right? This is where we say nothing. We're like, sorry, baby. Right? Right? Sorry. Okay. Genesis chapter 25, verses 22 through 26. The rabbis taught that Esau tried to kill Jacob in the womb. Right? So again, guys, button the lips, right? Who knows what was going on inside of there? But what they would teach was that sin led to suffering. But I think for us, it's a little bit different. So I want to talk about something that may be different for us. Many of us have one big question when it comes to life. Why? Why? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there so much pain in the world? Why is there so much evil in the world? And all I can tell you is this, being a pastor, is that when the why question, when somebody opens the question with why, I know it's not going to be an easy one, and I know I'm probably not going to have an answer. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I may have a theological answer, but when people are hurting, that's not worth a hill of beans. And so here they are, they're trying to figure out what's going on, okay? Especially, you look at some people, they totally live their life not caring about God at all, and they have no problems. And there's other people who are trying to live a decent life, trying to follow Jesus, and they seem to have, you know, all kinds of trouble. And you just sit there and you go, what in the world is going on? And the way some of you guys have been taught over the years, you're taught that everything that you do wrong is somehow associated with sin. So we'll talk a little bit about that stuff, okay? So many of you grew up in an environment, again, that connected every wrong thing with sin. I don't know if they still do it, but you used to be those guys on TV back in the 80s and the 90s. They'd be like, there's sin in your life. And they're like yelling at the people. And I'd be like, you're nice people. You're like, oh, I guess there is. I'm like, no kidding, you idiot. Right? And so that's because I'm from Long Island. Okay. And so anyway, that's what we refer to as legalism. Okay, legalism. People think, okay, if you do good, God rewards you. People think if you do bad, you get punishment. Okay, now let's make sure I'm very clear on this, okay? I am not endorsing sin. Can you all repeat that? I am not endorsing sin. I don't want anybody to misquote me on that one, okay? But let's be realistic about this, all right? If every time we sinned, God punished us, we would be getting pounded into the pavement every day of our lives, right? Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? Hey, guys, if you ever looked at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery in your heart. Oh, boy. Right? Pounded into the pavement. No way. But the Bible at times says there is a relationship between sin and suffering. Some of the things that we do might lead to poor health or something like that, drunk driving, that kinds of stuff, but not always. And what follows in chapter 9 will confirm that, that it didn't happen in this man. Jesus will talk about it in a bit. As followers of Jesus, we are not students of karma. Karma is, you know, what you do, what goes around, comes around. It's a lot more than that. So I don't want to be picking on it in that way. I don't want to oversimplify it. But people who believe that all suffering is because of sin, have you ever noticed something about those people? They're very mean-spirited, a lot of them. Not all of them, okay? They're merciless people. And I've met a lot of Christians, okay, whether they are or not, I don't know, all right? We'll talk about what true Christians are in a bit, all right? I don't know if they are or not. But you ever notice that a lot of those people are tough on others and easy on themselves? They're so hard on people, but they're tough on themselves. And you know what? I can say it because it's a lot of pastors are this way. You find out years later, the stuff that they were doing, they're just covering up themselves. They're a bunch of jerks, right? And so I can say that because I'm a pastor. You can too. I don't care. And it's just they're covering up their own sins. So once again, the question of why is hard. Let's acknowledge it. It's hard. However, right, the teaching of the Bible is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, okay, the Son of God who lived from all eternity past came to earth and put on humanity. So what does he know? He knows how difficult this life is. He knows what it's like to be teased. He knows what it's like to be treated poorly. He knows how hard things can be, okay? But a lot of times I have found over the years, okay, that some people do know why they are suffering. Let me give you one example. For a true follower of Jesus, a guilty conscience is very hard to carry. Isn't it? It's very, very hard. Yet, suffering without knowing it will draw a true Christian, and we don't even use the word Christian around here too much because it's too watered down. Jesus called people, when he called people, remember what he said? Follow me. Follow me. Okay? And true followers of Jesus, okay, really come to learn that suffering, if you don't know why you're suffering, it will draw you closer to God. That doesn't mean you don't have your moments. Okay? Don't think like, oh, no, I had a moment. Right? But it will draw you closer to God. What does suffering do? Suffering, if we let it, builds our faith. Suffering, if you will, toughens us up for greater challenges. Who knows what the Lord is preparing you for? You have no idea what's coming down the line. No idea. And then sometimes you go through a tough time and you think, man, that was awful. And then you have another tough time later and you think back and you're like, oh God, thank you for preparing me for this. Because if I didn't go through that first thing, I would have never been able to go through that second thing. Now, there's two guys going across after Jesus ascended to heaven. We've talked about this before, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, okay? They were going across the Roman Empire, preaching the gospel to people, okay? Starting churches, getting arrested, getting beaten up, getting all kinds of trouble. They just kept going and going, get bit by snakes, get shipwrecked. They're like, whatever, let's keep going. They're doing it and they're doing it, doing it. And then, so they go all the way across the Roman Empire. And on the way back, they visit the churches that they started. Listen to what they say, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, the Apostle Paul speaking. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations, some versions say it's necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, does that sound like God's angry with them? No, he's saying you're going to have these things in your life. Okay, that's just the way it goes. Now, I'm going to say this thing twice because I want everybody to absorb this. Maybe if you're experiencing a lot of hard times that are not due to sin, you might be on the right path to glory. Let me say that again. I don't want you to miss it. Maybe if you're experiencing a lot of hard times, not due to sin, you are on the right path to glory. That is a path that God has for you, preparing you for the kingdom of God. In verse 3, remember the question was, who sinned, the father or mother? Jesus doesn't go, well, it was all Adam and Eve's fault. He doesn't do that. Jesus, he answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, what do we notice with Jesus? What is he going to do, okay? He's going to shift them, okay, from blame to grace. He's going to shift them from get that idea out of your head, okay, into unseeing the grace of God, okay? So neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, or they should be displayed in him. Now, we don't have a lot of time for this today. For you Bible geeks, any Bible geeks here? Few of you, okay, that's all right. I'm a Bible geek, I admit it. You might want to research the word theodicy. Theodicy, we've got it up there, we've got the slide. Okay, theodicy, all right? Right, theodicy. Now you say, what in the world is theodicy? Theodicy is this: if God exists, why is there evil and suffering in the world? Now, let's take this. Remember, God became a man, person of Jesus Christ. It's not like he didn't know about that. They killed him. They killed the apostles, all but one. Okay, so there's things we could think about in that. The problem is, if we go down that rabbit trail, we'll all miss lunch. So we can't do that, all right? But you can look it up. But here, Jesus will do a miracle, and you know what? It'll be just a work for him then. I mean, it'll be as easy for you as, you know, getting a plate of food. It's absolutely nothing for him. Yet Jesus tells all of us the man's blindness is under the control of God in some way. He's like, God's got this. Don't worry about this, guys. Despite his blindness, Jesus will help him to see the glory of God. Isaiah 35, which we read earlier. And how will he see it? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's how he will see it. What I find most interesting is the term that's used here is the term works is plural of God, the works of God. Yes, the man will come to see, but we will also see that this man will be totally changed. He will become an incredible witness to the works of God, okay? So people always say, is it God's works or man's works? Yes, this side's always got it. Come on, this team, you get a side, you got to do better. These guys always said, maybe you guys could sit that way over next week, okay? So that they always got it, okay? Is it? Yes, it is. So what the disciples' question is, now, is it well-intentioned or not? We don't know. But it leads Jesus to explain, okay, that God will overrule whose person you want to blame. That God is going to do an incredible work in this man's life. And from that moment on, this man will never be the same. Sometimes when God opens your eyes, things incredibly change. Some of you, that's your story. Some of you are just kind of like regular people. God bless you, right? Some of us are just so stubborn, right? That God's got to pound us into the pavement, if you will, to make it happen. And so Jesus sees the much bigger picture here, okay? He sees the blindness of the world until Jesus opens our eyes. Back in chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God that you believe in him, believe in Jesus, whom he sent. Now, it's interesting in the church world, we always move from one side to the other. Have you ever noticed that? It's not a great thing, okay? So you have some people who think, well, all you got to do is good works, and God will be so happy with you, and you'll get into heaven. See? Now, you're nice people. People say, I do good works, and you go, oh, that's great. I go, give me the top five. They're like, three? One, right? Most people don't have good works, you know, like, oh, I gave the waitress a good tip. Well, okay, thanks. I'm sure heaven was rocking on that one, right? And so, you know, you just have to just really think about that, okay? So people don't like works. And other people think that none of this ever really, really matters, right? But in the Bible, this is the way we see it. We see Jesus call people what? Follow me. That's what we call the effectual call. There is a call, there is a power of the Word of God calling you to put your faith and trust in Him, okay? And then you are called to live out your faith, okay? And that varies for all of us. Now you say, well, I'm not so sure I'm in that. Well, let's see classic verses that give us the balance. Very famous verses, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, okay? For by grace you have been saved through faith, okay? So it's the grace of God that saves you through faith and not of yourselves. So did you do it?
Nope.
Bad answer, louder. Did you do it?
No,
okay? It is the gift of God. So it was a what? Gift. Very good. See, you guys should be up here teaching this thing. I can go rest, okay? All right, it's the gift of God, not of works. Wait a minute. Where's my good, I gave that guy a good tip. Let me get my money back, okay? Right? No, all right? Not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? So do we boast in our good works? No. Now watch this, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for a follower of Jesus that we should walk in them. So what happens is God takes you, you put your trust in Jesus through faith, you receive the gift of God. People can argue about the order, fine. Another discussion for another day. If you want to go out and talk about it, we'll have lunch, you pay, okay? And so we go out there, we are saved by grace, not of our works, so we don't boast. But after we become followers of Jesus, after our destination is changed from, literally, from hell to heaven, okay, we learn that in chapter 3, okay, then he has prepared these good works for us in advance. Now think about your life. Many of you have gifts that God has given to you to use for the kingdom of God. And a lot of you are like, well, I don't really know what my gift is. Well, you just got to get going. You just got to get going and just give it a try. Don't be afraid. Remember when I was at the church that sent me up here, okay? I guess they just wanted to get rid of me, tired of me or something like that. But anyway, I taught to the youth group there. There was over 100 kids there. And they called me at work on a Friday afternoon and said, can you teach the youth group tonight? I said, sure, I could teach the youth group tonight. They said, you have a sermon ready? I said, yes. They go, why do you have a sermon ready? I go, I don't know, I just write them. Doesn't everybody do that? No. Okay, so I go there. And then the next week, they call me in. I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna get booted out of this church. What am I gonna happen? I don't know, oh man. And so, met with Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed spoke here after I had my back surgery, was one of the preachers that came here. And he says to me, we got a lot of calls regarding your message last Friday night. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, man. He goes, just listen to me. And he said, the parents were all calling and said, normally my kids get in the car, I ask them what the message was about, and they have absolutely no idea. All teenagers, no idea. And they said, but this time they got in the car and they were giving me the sermon. And he goes, and I listened to it. I said, oh no. And he goes, it was really good. And I said, really? And he goes, how long have you been doing this? I go, well, that's about it. And he said, well, we gotta figure out what we're gonna do with you. So that was sort of the beginning of the path for me. But so many of us, we have gifts, right, and talents that we don't use. A lot of times around the church, I feel like I'm doing stuff that I have no business doing. I mean, most pastors have absolutely zero administrative skills, zero. I have some, right? But there's so many people in our church that are so much more gifted than me. Obviously, they don't let me sing up here because I can't sing at all. Some of we have gifted and talents that God has given you to use for his kingdom. We have resources, finances, things like that, that God has given to us. We have people in our lives that God wants us to influence. We have not being just a spiritual jerk, but just being honest with them. We have so many responsibilities, and God says in verse 10, what? I have prepared works for you to do these in advance. So why? So people, whether you said it or not, could see how I'm active in your life. They would see it. So let us think here in chapter 9, at times, often suffering in difficult times, God uses to show Jesus Christ to other people. As a church right now, you know, you get one service to practice it and you think you could get through this. We have some brothers and sisters in our church who we love deeply. One went home to be with the Lord last week. I had the honor of being there in the room with her and her husband when she passed. And we have others that are not doing well. And to watch them be so faithful in tough times, not complaining. We complain about every little thing, don't we? And they're not complaining. Telling you, I just really sense God is with me. Famous verse, many of you know it. Romans 8:28. And we know that some things. Did I read it properly? No? What did I miss? All things. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Loved ones, when you hang in there, when things are hard, and still love God, that speaks volumes to people. Doesn't mean you don't question God at times. I mean, I've had this past month plenty of times when I've said to God, God, are you kidding me? I mean, this is just really hard for so many of the people who love so many of the people that are hurting. But when you are able to stay close to God, when people see how personal God is to you, when they see your God-giving ability to stand up under trials and still love God, that will speak volumes to them. And it may get under some people's skin. I get it. Now, you might be saying to me right about now, Pastor Jim, I don't want to hear any of this. I don't want to hear any of this. Okay? Well, who does? I mean, really, who does? But I will say one thing. Keep it in mind, because if you're not in tough times now, you will need this in the future. You will need it. It is only a matter of time. And it's natural to want to get relief from your trials. It's natural to want to get relief from your difficulties. But after being a Christian for a long time now, I've learned something very, very important. And I'm going to say this one twice too. That God often wants to walk with you through your trials. He often wants to walk with you through your trials. Why? Because he is building a relationship with you that is closer to him. And Jesus Christ will use great times of difficulty to grow your faith.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney, and that's all the time we have for today. Our desire here at Changed by Love is to simply bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. If you missed part of today's message or want to hear it again, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. This program is possible because of the support of you, our listeners. Your support helps us to produce radio shows and purchase radio time on radio stations across the country. Pastor Jim often says that it was radio that helped him in many ways when he was a truck driver and an office worker before he became a pastor. Our team here at Changed by Love is always encouraged to hear how our ministry is helping you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. And when you write to us, please let us know what station and time you hear us. We would also like to thank all of you who pray for our ministry. We realize that without your prayers, our work would lack power. Pastor Jim is so grateful to the people who write to us and pray at the conclusion of each show. Without your prayers and support, we can't do what we do. Our hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord here in the Gospel of John, one verse at a time. Those of us who are bringing you the Changed by Love program pray God's best to each and every one of you today and every day.